California man with history of domestic violence convicted of killing girlfriend. Santa Ana, California, a 38-year-old Anaheim man was convicted Wednesday, May 29, of beating and strangling his girlfriend following a roughly year-long tumultuous relationship. Aaron Romo was convicted of first-degree murder, along with felony counts of domestic violence and false imprisonment. Jurors deliberated for about a day and a half. Mr. Romo, who is scheduled to be sentenced June 24, faces at least 25 years to life in prison. He still faces a non-jury trial on an allegation that he committed the murder while out on bail for domestic violence against the same victim. Mr. Romo allegedly physically assaulted 24-year-old Morel Mateus of La Palma on December 5, 2022, before killing her on March 17, 2023. The couple met in May 2022 through Jarrett Wolford, who briefly had dated Ms. Mateus and was a friend of Mr. Romo, Senior Deputy District Attorney Mark Burney said. Within a month of dating, Ms. Mateus moved in with Mr. Romo, Mr. Burney said. Mr. Romo lived in a luxury apartment at 1901 Union Street, and the two posted photos of themselves as a couple traveling to Hawaii and elsewhere during their relationship, Mr. Burney said. But on December 5, 2022, Mr. Romo allegedly beat Ms. Mateus, who was thrown over a guardrail of their apartment's balcony, Mr. Burney said. Mr. Romo was charged with domestic violence, and on December 14, 2022, he deliberately cut his arms and was taken to a hospital. Despite a restraining order, the pair remained in contact, but the relationship had its ups and downs. On March 16 of last year, Mr. Wolford talked Mr. Romo into going out on the town to help him get over Ms. Mateus, Mr. Burney said. During that outing, Mr. Romo got into a conflict with a woman he was pursuing in a bar and she slapped him, leading security to kick the group out, Mr. Burney said. While they were in front of the establishment, Mr. Romo got into a fistfight and was knocked out, suffering two black eyes, according to the prosecutor. Mr. Romo lost his phone, so his friend called for an Uber, and when the driver showed up, Mr. Romo used the Uber employee's phone to repeatedly call Ms. Mateus until she answered and agreed to pick him up, Mr. Burney said. She drove him back to his apartment about 2:15 a.m. and the two got into a violent struggle, Mr. Burney said. The victim's mother, worried she could not reach her daughter, saw the victim had Mr. Wolford in her call log, so she dialed him and he recounted what had happened the night before, Mr. Burney said. The mother went to Mr. Romo's apartment and found her daughter's body in Mr. Romo's bathtub. By then, Mr. Romo was in Temecula. He left his apartment about 4:50 a.m. and rode his motorcycle to the home of his other girlfriend, Stephanie Rodriguez, where he confessed to her before slashing his arms again, Mr. Burney said. Mr. Romo's attorney, Ricardo Nickel, argued that voluntary manslaughter is the best fit for the crime, not murder. Mr. Romo was extremely intoxicated that night, Mr. Nickel said. The defendant and Mr. Wolford downed two-thirds of a bottle of vodka before they went out to party at the bar, Mr. Nickel said. And he was acting like a drunk, Mr. Nickel said of his client's misbehavior in the club. He got in a dumb fight where he was severely beaten. Mr. Nickel argued that being that drunk impairs your ability to carefully weigh and consider the consequences of your actions. Mr. Nickel also said the defendant suffered a concussion in the bar fight, which further impaired his ability to think through his actions. This head injury alone takes him out of premeditation and deliberation, which are necessary elements for a first-degree murder conviction, Mr. Nickel argued. He further argued it would also remove second-degree murder as a possible consequence as well. It's fair to argue that, but for the head injury, Morel would still be alive, Mr. Nickel said. Mr. Burney countered that for a voluntary manslaughter conviction, the defense would have to show there was some provocation of the act of killing the victim. There is no evidence Morel did anything to provoke him. None. It doesn't exist, Mr. Burney argued. Mr. Burney noted there was no evidence Ms. Mateus was unfaithful to Mr. Romo, and, the prosecutor added, he's going out with so many women he can't even remember their names. There was evidence presented during the trial that Mr. Romo had 5 restraining orders with 5 women, with 2 saying he choked them during angry conflicts, according to Mr. Burney. Mr. Burney said the victim was fighting for her life as he strangled and beat her, as the prosecutor argued for first-degree murder. Mr. Romo's head injury didn't prevent the defendant from riding 65 miles on his motorcycle to his girlfriend's house, Mr. Burney said. It also didn't stop him from hiding the victim's phone or avoiding police, Mr. Burney said. It also didn't stop the defendant from scrawling on a wall and mirror at his home, Mr. Burney said. This is a case in which he beat her and strangled her, and his size and strength matters, Mr. Burney said of the defendant, who took enough pride in his bodybuilding to post photos of himself at the gym on social media. As for provocation, given the defendant's muscular physique, why would she provoke him, Mr. Burney asked.